Familiar passage to most of us from Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, healing all who were oppressed. And healing in the broadest sense of the word, in every possible way that they needed healing, he healed them. Thank the Lord. So, Father, I bless your name. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And to give you some verification of how Jesus healed and the way he healed, of course, we know from Isaiah's passage, he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And this is how healing comes to us. And we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. With his wounds, he has healed us. And here's a little bit about how he went about doing good and healing all. His fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed. See, this is why it went about healing all. Demon-possessed epileptics and paralytics, in other words, people who were immobilized, and he healed them. It didn't make any difference what length, strength, power the enemy had over them. He healed all of them. When evening had come, it says in Matthew 8, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Love that. And he healed all who were sick. First, he cleansed the atmosphere of the spiritual powers that were rulers of darkness in the atmosphere, cleansed it by removing them with a word, and then he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It says in Matthew 12, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. So if you follow Jesus as he was walking down one of the roads in Galilee or around Jerusalem, and you were listening to him, and you were adoring and worshiping him, if you came with anything that was negative in your life, you walked away well. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 15, great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Great multitudes, Matthew 19, followed him, and he healed them. Right there, where they were following him. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, Matthew 21, and he healed them there, in church, out of church. And Luke 4, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, Jesus, and he laid his hands on everyone and healed them. Everyone who was sick, he put his hands on them and healed them, every one of them. In Luke 6, he came down with them and stood at a level place with a crowd of his disciples, because he was at the temple and he was outside the temple. He comes down the steps and he's got thousands of people that are there, according to Josephus, and a great multitude from Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him, and he healed their diseases. Those tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, and power went out from him and healed them all. Can you imagine what that was like? What an explosive worship praise time that they had. Of course, James tells us how we should seek healing, and then there are other various means by which we can find our healing. So I read to you from Acts 10 and 39, and the Bible is filled with just a few examples of glorious accounts of the great miracles revealing the numerous occasions during the ministry of Jesus when he supernaturally intervened in the lives of people. He went about doing good and healing all, constantly, over and over, repetitiously, healing people with various kinds of troubles and challenges. Time after time, in the middle of what looked to be humanly impossible circumstances. He brings hope and he brings healing to the lives of men and women and children. Wherever he was, there were people being healed. And then it says in Mark 5, after the crowd was amazed to see the woman with an issue of blood healed, after years of having no hope and no help, having spent all of her savings trying to find anything medically that would cure her, and there was no cure for her, and all of a sudden, in a moment, touching his garment, she's wow. And the crowd's amazed. They are absolutely stunned at what just happens because she's broken all the protocols. She's gotten down on the ground. She's crawled between the feet of people. There are thronging crowds all around him, touching him, brushing up against him. And she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be well. They were all looking for miracles. One of those that was seeking miracles was a man named Jairus. He was one of the rulers of the synagogue and therefore pretty prominent in this particular community. And on that day, Jairus was not present in an official capacity. He was not representing the synagogue as an officer. He was simply a desperate father looking for help for his daughter. The daughter he adored was critically ill. They exhausted every natural means to find help. And there were no more doctors to go to. There were no scientific breakthroughs to hope for. No life support systems they could hook her up to that would sustain her life for one more hour, let alone another day. Jairus had nowhere else to turn for help but to Jesus. And what frightful thoughts must have raced through his mind when he struggled to get through this throng of people, this crowd, to meet Jesus and get his attention and hopefully escort the Nazarene back to his home. And then a message arrives to tell him, your daughter's already dead. And the Bible tells us, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken to Jairus, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Can you imagine that moment? When I was a child, I remember hearing the evangelists and the missionaries on Sunday nights leading us in a chorus, only believe, only believe. All things are possible. And man, I saw things that were impossible become possible. So accompanied by Peter, James, and John, and the grieving father, Jairus, Jesus starts to make the journey to the house of Jairus. And for every step he took, no doubt, Jairus was concerned. His emotions just absolutely all over the map. But every step he took brought him nearer to the miracle that he sought. And when the group arrived at the home, understandably, there's grief and sadness filling the house, spilling out into the street. Family members and friends are immersed in sorrow, and they're weeping uncontrollably because this little girl has passed. Yet Jesus said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And it says in verse number 42 of Mark 5, immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And at this miracle, the Bible tells us, all who witnessed it were astonished with a great astonishment. You see, there may be opposition before there's a miracle, and probably there will be. In every situation you find where you need a miracle from God, there's going to be some opposition. And what we can learn from Jairus and the miracle involving his daughter, manifold. It's important to realize that opposition will often come before your miracle is manifested. Just before you reach the point where you think, I can't go another step. Exhausted like Gideon, but pursuing. We don't quit. Because just about the time we're ready to quit, we're just one step away from God doing the impossible. Opposition will come before, and sadly, many miss that miracle because they fail to realize the source of the opposition. Because before you overcome an obstacle, you have to recognize and identify, what is this obstacle that's in front of me? And if opposition has been allowed to triumph, faith begins to vanish. Eventually, it turns to fear, and we're overwhelmed, and our faith is crushed. When fear prevails and is allowed to flourish, the miracle might pass right by you. So Jairus faces at least seven different types of opposition that day on his journey back to receiving this miracle. Some of the challenges were obvious. Other challenges were a little more subtle and difficult to realize and recognize. Yet no form of opposition was too great for this man called Jairus. Because he believed that this man Jesus, whom he had heard about, could heal his daughter. And because of Jairus' deep love and devotion and care about his daughter, he was willing to do anything, overcome anything, to ensure Jesus saw his daughter. And obstacle number one, the power of tradition. Be careful of tradition. Jesus told the religious leaders of the day, your traditions have nullified the word of God. You have made those greater than, more important than, the word of the living God. And folks, we can fall into the same trap if we're not careful. We need to be sure that what we do because it's based on word. It's based on truth, not on just what we like and are comfortable with because it's our tradition. The power of tradition. Tradition was a very real part of the life of Jairus. And I'm going to show you how he stepped right through that tradition and passed it. Since childhood, he was immersed in the traditions of his culture. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And because I've traveled to the Middle East and observed some of the cultural differences between the East and the West, it's obvious that tradition is incredibly strong in the Middle East, more powerful perhaps than any single force among the cultures. And to many in the Middle East, the power of tradition holds a greater level of influence than anything else and has greater impact on the day-to-day activities of the culture. The same principle applied to Jairus. In publicly bowing at the feet of Jesus, he demonstrated strength to stand against tradition. And the power that it wielded over his life as one of the rulers of the synagogue, because he cared more about his daughter's well-being than his position or anything else in his life, he overcame the power of tradition and did not allow it to hinder him in his quest for and faith in a miracle for his daughter from the one that the synagogue rulers were in opposition to, Jesus. The second obstacle Jairus had to overcome was a fear of loss. Fear is a formidable foe. And unfortunately, it's powerful enough to keep some people from receiving their miracle. When fear of loss overshadows their desire for the miracle, fear becomes an obstacle that separates you from that miracle. It becomes a wedge that stops the miracle. And Jairus begged Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. For a Jewish ruler like Jairus, to go to Jesus was quite dramatic. It was out of the ordinary. First of all, he went to Jesus in broad daylight in the presence of a huge crowd. And when he did that, he risked losing his position in the synagogue and his place of influence in that culture of that community. Not only does he go to Jesus in public, but he bows at his feet and he begs him and he asks Jesus publicly to heal his daughter, which meant Jairus was openly acknowledging that Jesus was not who he was being accused of being, but in fact, their Messiah. Obstacle number three for Jairus, the crowd. Interested bystanders, well-intentioned neighbors, some of the very close friends of Jairus and his family became an obstacle. Try to imagine yourself in Jairus' sandals for a minute. His daughter's dying. Every moment this counts. He had no choice but to run right into the middle of the crowd and get to Jesus. And as Jairus quickly explained the situation, Jesus nodded in agreement to Jairus' urgent plea. When relieved, Jairus gently begins to try to guide Jesus through the crowd into the direction of the home where his critically ill daughter is lying in bed and dying. And as Jairus and Jesus continue toward the house, moving mass of people is attracting more and more spectators, because everywhere Jesus goes, the crowd gets bigger. Everywhere Jesus is, the crowd throngs him. Everywhere he's moving, more and more people join from the neighborhoods and come out of their houses, and more spectators. And soon the growing crowd is filling the streets in all directions. And the crowd swallows up Jesus and Jairus, and it makes it even more difficult for them to proceed. And the bigger the crowd got, the more it delayed Jairus and Jesus. But Jairus had already overcome a couple of other obstacles, and he's determined no obstacle is going to keep me from receiving this miracle. And he must press on, no matter how difficult the circumstance, because my daughter needs a miracle. Number four, someone else first. As Jesus stood listening patiently to the grown woman's detailed account, the story of the woman with the issue, because she's managed to touch the hem of his garment, and immediately he said, "Virtue has gone out of me." And he asks, "Who touched me?" And of course, the disciples go, "What? Look at the crowd of people. Everybody's touching you." "No, somebody touched me with faith." And she raises her little hand, and she starts telling her story. And he looks at her and says, "Your faith has made you whole." This woman was healed instantaneously in the middle of the street. And she's telling Jesus the story, and he wants to hear the testimony of her history of these many years and struggling and near death now. The woman's condition has now immediately reversed and improved. She's gone from near death to full of life. So no longer is she as critical as the daughter of Jairus. And the woman is healed. She's well. She could tell her story later, perhaps. Maybe you could meet Jesus later at another time and finish telling this. If they didn't keep moving along this crowded street toward home, the daughter, my daughter's going to die. And every moment could mean the difference between life and death for my little girl. And although Jairus is consumed with concerns for his dying daughter, it's important to note he did not do anything to prevent or stop the woman with the issue of blood from receiving what she came for. He did nothing to stand in the way of her miracle by putting his need in front of hers. And because of this, this spirit in Jairus, his miracle was right around the corner. Obstacle five, overcoming doubt and unbelief. And just as that woman who had the issue of blood concluded her lengthy testimony, it went on for a while. Jairus' messenger arrives with the news of his daughter's death. And he says, "Don't trouble the master, Jairus. Your daughter's dead. It's over." When Jesus heard the messenger's words, he's not alarmed by the news. He demonstrated his concern for Jairus. He wanted to be sure Jairus understood. "I'm reassuring your faith. I'm standing with you." He did not allow his faith to be destroyed or shaken, but he spoke words filled with faith and encouraged Jairus. Looking at the natural, the situation, it's hopeless. Nothing we can do now. It's over. Yet no situation or circumstance is hopeless when Jesus is present. And when Jesus comes on the scene, problems begin to evaporate. Regardless of what you're facing, Jesus is concerned about your faith, just as he was concerned with the faith of Jairus. He will protect it until you receive your miracle. Don't give up. Just believe. Obstacle six, the battle against emotions. And boy, this one's a big one because everybody gets their emotions get out of sorts and they begin to control you and direct you and your thinking goes sideways and you're emotionally led instead of biblically led and spirit led. Jairus believed that if he could just bring Jesus to the bedside of his daughter in time, she would be healed. The news of her death is probably banging around in his head as he takes every step back toward the front door of his house. How could this have happened? If only I'd gotten Jesus here a little sooner, if somehow I could have extricated him out of that crowd quickly, is it possible that my daughter's dead? How can my little girl be gone? How could this have happened? Is this really happening to me? It's Gideon's plea and his concerns over the messes of going on in Israel, and exhaustion has overtaken him, but I'm pursuing. I'm not stopping. And at what a reception Jairus found waiting when he arrives with Jesus at his house. A crowd of neighbors and friends and family members have gathered. They're all weeping, it says, uncontrollably. A feeling of hopelessness has filled the air. Everybody is negative. It's terrible. And with all the noise and confusion, it was not exactly a faith-filled situation because it looked like everybody who had gathered had given up. They were done, and they had. And the battle of emotions is one type of opposition you're going to face one day. You're going to have to face down your emotions with God's truth, God's word, and bring every thought captive, being subjected to the truth of God's word. Whatever you do, never allow your emotions to destroy your faith in God. Remember that it's faith, not emotions, that bring your miracle to reality. Faith, not emotions. And obstacle seven, rising above reproach. The final obstacle that Jairus faced was the mockery and the ridicule of those closest to him. Family, friends, and neighbors. And so sometimes you've got to stand alone. And sometimes you've got to walk away from people you've known most of your life and say, "You stay over here." When my wife came with a report from the doctor of cancer, I remember one of the first things we discussed was who we were going to listen to and who we were going to allow to speak to us, because we know what people do in their goodwill and good intention and in their good desires, not doing something intentionally wrong, and then all they want to tell you about is they died and they didn't, and the terrible things going on with them. We didn't want to hear any of that. We were careful to make sure the people who spoke to us spoke faith. When Jesus came in, he said to the crowd, making this commotion. Now, these were people who were probably very spiritual, who went to synagogue on a regular basis, who loved God to the best of their ability. And he looked at them and said, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, love it. You know what, folks? You all need to go outside and do that. We're not going to do that in here. He just basically said, "Time to leave. Get out. Go out." He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, that'd be Peter, James, and John, and entered where the child was lying in her room. Mockery is never easy to handle. When it comes from the unbelieving, it's more easily dismissed. That can happen when people who don't know the Lord are saying things that they don't even know what they're saying. When it comes from your own family members and those closest to you, it's difficult. Listen, difficult to deal with that. It almost seems like persecution when it's coming from people that you thought loved you, right? When Jesus hears all the weeping and the wailing of those gathered to console Jairus, he rebuked them, said, "I don't want that in here. I don't want to hear one more peep out of any of you He asked them, those who were making such a fuss, and he tells them, the girl is not dead. She's asleep, and you don't have faith in here. I don't want anybody without faith to be in this room. Take a good walk outside. Go get a new breath of fresh air. Poor Jairus, his faith has been under attack since he first tries to make his way to find Jesus. There's not been a step he's taken, but what his faith has been under attack. And here, once again, Jesus does something to protect the faith of Jairus. He asks everybody without faith to get out, and he orders all faithless people to leave the house except Jairus and his wife and his three beloved disciples. And then the miracle manifested. Expect it. After everyone had left, Jesus went to where the body of Jairus' daughter laid, accompanied by Peter, James, and John, and her mother and father. And they had ridiculed Jesus. Can you imagine? She's dead. What are you going to do? But when he put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. See, this was more than healing. This was a miracle. Jairus was elated as life returns to the body of his little girl. And moments later, my goodness, everybody is astounded. If you could rewind maybe for 5 minutes, his heart no doubt pounding with anxiety as he enters the room where his little girl lies breathless. Grief, his tears stream down his face. Uncertainty. Now what? But when Jesus stepped into the middle of Jairus' emotional storm, he assured him everything's going to be okay. And suddenly, nothing mattered. His daughter was alive. She was well. She was raised from the dead. She was whole. The miracle happened. When you trust God with steadfast faith, as Jairus trusted him that day, you will not be disappointed. It will be your day for a miracle. Let this be your night for a miracle. Because Jesus' power over sickness and disease has not changed. Miracles still happen today as they did when Jesus was physically present, because he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Holy Spirit has come to reveal him to us, whereby he could only be at one place at one time while he physically was here. Now, by the power of the Spirit, he can be with all of us at the same time. And the same Jesus who walked this earth healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people still heals tonight. Health and life are restored when the Master steps onto the scene. Diseases and infirmities vanish as sick bodies are transformed by the healing touch of Jesus. The Word of God reminds us God is no respecter of persons. And just as healing was extended to people of all walks of life throughout the Word of God, it's available to us tonight because we are all His people. Amen? And for all time and eternity, Jesus is my restorer and my healer. Miracles are not selectively bestowed upon those deemed worthy. They're available to every man, woman, boy, and girl. That includes you. God's healing power is not limited to a time frame. It only could happen during this time in history or to a select group of individuals. It is only for these people. He's the God of miracles. He's gracious, loving, He's the unchanging Heavenly Father who has always has and always will intervene to do the impossible in the lives of people as they reach out to Him and ask in faith with an expectancy. I expect a miracle. I expect healing. My expectation is that God is going to answer. Miraculous signs and wonders abound around the world today. What's happening around the world today is absolutely astounding. People are being healed by the hundreds and thousands in meetings across the world. We're the only strugglers left on the planet, we in the Western culture, because we've allowed so much stuff to get in between us and God that our faith has been crippled. But people who have very little except their faith and trust in God are seeing God do things for them that are right out of the pages of the Bible. Astounding miracles. So if you have an urgent need or desperately seeking a miracle, don't despair. Don't despair. Don't be discouraged by your circumstance. Look to Jesus. Reach out to Him with faith, for nothing is impossible when you put your trust in Him. And you too must not give up like Jairus, because Jesus won that victory on your behalf, just as He won it for the house of Jairus. And as long as He has won that victory, and as long as He is the victor, what are you worried about? So if you're facing what appears to be an impossible circumstance, remember, absolutely nothing is impossible when Jesus steps onto the scene. That's what I meant earlier when I said His manifested presence. Not that He's just with me always. His manifested presence. It's in that moment when you know, as you're praying about something or praying for someone or praying about a circumstance and it's going to take a miracle, and all of a sudden you know He's right here. And He's manifesting His presence, just the glory of God. You know that prayer is getting answered as He's here. Look at the circumstance. Look to Jesus. Worship Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always take you to Jesus. Problems cease when we see Jesus. And so, whatever you're facing tonight, don't give up. Only believe. Take a step of faith. So, what impossible barriers or obstacles do you have in your life? Jairus had several. Sickness, lack, emotional wounds, distresses, infirmities, chronic illness. Tonight's your night. This is your night because it's His table, right? God's miraculous outpouring and presence, they're ready to be released. God wants to release this to you. And if you want to change your circumstance spiritually and physically, what steps are you willing to take in faith? What are you going to do? What actions, like Jairus, are you willing to take? Well, let me suggest to you that an act of faith is what it takes to release God's power in your life. It takes an action, like the lady with the issue, or Jairus. It takes action, something I have to do. A spiritual miracle requires a spiritual action. No one is saved from their sin until they act and ask Jesus to become their Savior and their Lord. There has to be an action on our part. Physical miracle requires physical action. I've never seen anybody get healed by doing nothing. I've only seen people receive their miracle of healing when they've taken some step in action of faith and they've put it all on the line and they've stepped up and said, I'm believing You, Lord, and here I come, and nothing's going to stop me. I've seen people come to church in wheelchairs, on stretchers. My goodness. A person totally immobilized, can't do anything but open her mouth and praise God. But she, that's what she did. She praised the Lord with what she had and took action to believe. And without anybody even doing anything but worshiping Jesus, that's all we're doing. We're worshiping Jesus. We were singing about the greatness of our Lord, the power of Jesus' name. And the Spirit of the Lord manifested the presence of Jesus. And the next thing you know, there's a commotion down near the front. And this girl's off the stretcher, and she's up, and she's running all over the place. And the place went crazy. I mean, it was absolutely chaotic, because all of a sudden, Jesus manifested his presence in response to faith. I've never seen anybody get healed doing nothing. There has to be some action on the part of the recipient. Likewise, a financial miracle requires financial action. I'm in trouble with my finances. And I don't know what to do. Well, first, you need to learn to start tithing. And second, you need to get with Selenia and let her help you get a budget in place. Giving is an act of faith that triggers financial harvest. And the power is in the seed. It's the trigger that brings God's favor. Because when we act and we do what God asks, then God responds. I will if you will, is how he words it. You have to give God something to use. It's the step of faith that touches the Father's heart and says, they believe me. They're acting. So why don't you begin to praise the Lord in advance for your miracle? Anybody can thank the Lord for an answer to prayer after the miracle has occurred. You can shout all night after you've received it. That's not faith. That's gratitude. But lift your hands and thank God in advance for the miracle. That's faith. That says, I have received it by faith. Anybody need a miracle tonight? I pray you'll step out in the name of Jesus. By his wounds.